Well, I usually sit where you are sitting, but when they ask me, look, we need somebody to pinch hit, I said, okay, I'll see what it looks like from up front. And you look pretty good on Labor Day weekend. Let's turn to scriptures in the 8th chapter of John. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So, if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me, because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father. Well, this is a season in which we are thinking much about our politics, political candidates. And both of them are insisting that we should be free, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I taught for many years at CSU. Students have arrived. Some parents are thankful, perhaps they have a new freedom, an empty nest. Oh, I hear somebody who knows that freedom. But students may arrive and be grateful to be out of the house and free to do their thing. I think it's an age in which it's difficult to speak religiously. It's a secular world, scientific world, a world full of technology. And so if I ask you, do you want to hear a sermon about heaven, hell, you, my secular colleagues may say, well, I'm not sure I believe in heaven or hell. And if I say, well, would you like to hear a sermon about angels or devils? I'm not so sure I believe in devils either. Well, I say, okay, how about a sermon on being sanctified? And if I'm offering that to a student on the CSU campus, the answer is going to be, God forbid, the last thing I want to be is sanctified. Well, maybe you'd like to be justified. Justified? Do I need to be justified? Well, at least you'd like to be saved, wouldn't you? And even there, they may respond, I'm not sure I need to be saved. I'm a nun, N-O-N-E. So for many, these traditional themes are distant in our secular world. But now if I ask, well, would you like to be free? The answer is, sure, tell me more. I mean, if you ask how many are nuns, they may be 30-40% of them say, I'm not interested in religion. But if you ask how many of them are interested in being free, you're not going to get any nuns. So let me invite you to think about a remarkably free man. Another time, another place, I might say, well, would you like to hear about somebody who worked miracles? Well, today we may hear, I don't think I believe in miracles much. Okay. Another time, another place, we might say, well, would you like to hear about somebody who had a strong sense of working under authority? And now the reply may be, well, not yet, not particularly. But when I offer thinking about a remarkably free man, the answer is going to be, tell me more. Well, I think from start to finish, the Gospels offer us a man who was remarkably free. Yes, he had a distinct mission. He had a sense of being under God's call, and that's probably the secret of his freedom. And yet, think about it a moment. He was a peasant carpenter. Think we'd have to say Jesus was poor, maybe not destitute. His mother, father were able to take care of him. But was he not doomed to long hours as a Galilean peasant working in a carpenter's shop? Sort of by accident of birth, it was sort of a foregone conclusion that he would remain a Palestinian peasant. He didn't have a fraction of a chance. But somehow that was a remarkable home. Even when he is shown to be at his youth in the trip to the temple, he is showing remarkable capacity to think about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is remarkably free from his circumstances. This once upon a time peasant carpenter is being worshiped by billions of people today. Something remarkable about that. He was free as he went about learning, teaching. Well, he was born into a time when there had been great systems of thought, but the great systems of thought had degenerated. They had become crusty. Greece had once been great with its Aristotle, Plato, but Greek thought was largely, well, lost. Hebrews had great prophets in the past, and yet it had largely sort of degenerated into the scribes and the Pharisees. But Jesus was able to cut through the chaff, to interpret, to reinterpret, to launch a new covenant. He was free as he passed among the levels of society. I mean, we think it's important to have status. Do you think Jesus wondered about his social status? Well, not too long before this scripture that I read, Jesus is at the home of Nicodemus. He's a big shot in the Judaism of his day. And just a paragraph or two later, he's talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, a woman of ill repute, a prostitute. Jesus is able to pass among the levels of his society. Social fences meant nothing to him. They said of him once, "This man consorts with sinners," meant to condemn him. But it's a tribute to the way he freely passed among the peoples of his time, forthright and sincere, quick to cut to the quick in his replies. Jesus didn't need to be politically correct. They came to him once and said, "Oh, Jesus, you better get out of town because Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said, "Go tell that fox, listen, today and tomorrow I cast out demons, and on the third day I reach my goal." Herod. Herod had murdered John the Baptist for criticizing who he married. And Jesus says, Herod's a fox. Tell him I'm going to do what I need to do and accomplish my goal. You can get killed for that. And he did get killed for that. Jesus was remarkably free about material things. We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. We need a home. We need possessions. Jesus was, Jesus was financially independent. Maybe we can't be financially independent like that. Seems impossible. But he said, take no anxious thought for the morrow, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, what ye shall put on. He also taught us to pray for our daily bread. Jesus was known to enjoy a meal in the home of friends or visitors. Maybe you'll say, well, he was just leaning on others to give him some food. Maybe he was, but there's still a kind of remarkable freedom toward these things that count so high among us. Jesus wasn't thinking much about a retirement plan or thinking much about his pension. Did Jesus worry? Do you think Jesus worried about his health? Well, I don't think we're ever told that Jesus was sick. Maybe you think Jesus couldn't get sick, being who he was, the Son of God. We worry about our health. You may say, well, that's just us senior citizens that worry about our health. I don't think that's true. The students at CSU are concerned about their health as any senior citizen sitting in front of me. Well, Jesus doesn't seem to have been sort of concerned about that. It's one way to think of Jesus as being a remarkably free man, and that has been over the ages one feature of his life that has attracted many. We are bound by our systems of thought. We like to think we can teach students at CSU. We would like to think that the new pastor standing in this pulpit in weeks ahead will teach us to be critical of our systems of thought. Yes. And yet many of us sort of think we have to fit in to make our careers, go right. We have to fit in to be socially acceptable. Let me invite you to think then that there is in the Christian faith a remarkable capacity for freedom. Perhaps we ourselves cannot, ought not, to try to achieve the freedom of Jesus as an itinerant preacher. We certainly are not expected to die for the sins of the world. Yet there is in him a remarkable capacity for making and keeping life human and free.